Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining me again this morning. This is What's Your Ruth, 7:30, 10/28, 2013, here, there, and everywhere, Lunatic Fringe, things you don't want to talk about, least of all want to know. Lots of stuff going on, lots of stressful things going on, dates indelibly marked in our minds, the blood moon's coming forward. And then I have the book of Jeremiah here coming, seems to be dragging on. It's a very long book, isn't it? Anyway, once again, I've been given a order to divest from the book of Jeremiah for a few minutes to say this. God will not tolerate an impure bride. God will not tolerate ones who have been invited to the wedding and want to stay home. He is not going to put up with people who have an appetite for the world and not him. They think that eating and drinking is more important. Don't think that eating and drinking is as important as loving God, because someday God will do away with both stomachs and food. God will not put up deigned bride. Sexual sin is never right. Our bodies are not made for that, but for the Lord. And the Lord wants to fill us with him. And if we're burdened down by all the cares of the world and we're not looking forward to our wedding, when we're not anxiously, breathlessly waking up every day and saying, hey, yay, I'm getting married soon. When the world comes upon you and knocks on your door every day with all the woes of the world, and you let that overwhelm you and you don't get up and say, I don't care, I'm getting married, my king's coming, and I'm getting married. I don't care what happens today. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I'm getting married. I'm a bride. I'm beautiful. Look at me. Give yourself to the Lord and to the Christ, and you are joined together as one. He will not have you. He's a picky God. That is why I say to run from sexual sin. No other sin affects the body as this one does. When your sin is about this sin, it is against the whole body. Haven't you learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit, which God gave you? And that lives within you, and that your body does not belong to you, for God has bought it with a great price. The man should give his wife all that is her right as a married woman, and the wife should do the same for her husband. So feast upon the truth. And hate sin and wickedness, and don't feast upon the bread of the world and honor it. God is going to meet a pure bride, and only those who wake up every day, earnestly, day and night, waiting for the king, well, no. Remove this evilness for a terrible thing it is. For don't you realize that even one person who is allowed to go on sinning, that soon we'll all be affected for a little leaven, leaveneth the whole loaf. This is an evil cancer, and this wickedness needs to be removed from among you, pure. Christ, God's Lamb, has been slain for us. So let us feast upon him and grow strong in the Christian life, leaving entirely behind us the cancerous old life. Feast instead upon the pure bread and honor and sincerity of the truth of Jesus. Put away all your greediness. Don't live for the idleness of the mind that creeps in. Don't keep company with anyone who claims to be a brother Christian but indulges in sexual sin. It's not our job to judge others, but it is certainly our job to judge and deal strongly with those who are members of the church who are sinning in this way. If you give yourself to the Lord, you and Christ are joined together as one person. That's why I say, run from sexual sin. No other sin affects the body as this one. When you sin, this sin is against the whole body. Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit and that he lives within you and that your body does not belong to you? So live cautiously and be careful where you go on the computer, because the cardio knower knows all, sees all. Knows all, sees all, knows all, sees all, knows all, sees all. The king's very upset. His family is so small. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, on to Jeremiah 32. The following message came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of the king of Zedekiah, king of Judah. At this time, Jeremiah was imprisoned. King Zedekiah had put him there for prophesying that the city would be conquered. And he became a prisoner. He prophesied that king would be sentenced for trial, and that he would be imprisoned there for many years, and asked, why do you fight the facts? Come, I buy a field. I pay for it with silver. The man, Hanameel, came. Tell me about this field in the land of Benjamin. I purchase it, I took the deed, and I sealed it, and I took the copy. The Lord told me it was going to be very valuable in the future. Someday people would again own property in this country. They would buy and sell houses here. I gave the papers back, and I prayed. O Lord God, you made the heavens and the earth. By your great power, anything too hard for you? You are loving and kind to thousands, yet children suffer for their father's sin. You are great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts. You have wisdom and do great and mighty miracles, for your eyes are open to all the ways of men, and you reward everyone according to his life and deeds. That's in Jeremiah 32:19, by the way. You have done incredible things in the land of Egypt, things still remembered to this day, and you have continued to do great things and miracles in Israel and all around the world. You have made your name great as it is today. You brought Israel out of Egypt with mighty miracles and great power and terror, and you gave Israel this land that you promised their fathers long ago, a wonderful land that flows with milk and honey. Our fathers came and conquered it and lived in it, but they refused to obey you or follow your laws. They've hardly done one thing you told them to do, and that's why you sent all these terrible, evil things upon them. I see all the sieges that will come. Then yet you tell me to buy this field, to pay good money, before these witnesses, even though the city will be brought to our enemies. And then this message came to Jeremiah: I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too hard for me? Yes, it's my plan to give this city to the Babylonians and to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and he will conquer it. And they will come in and set fire to the city, burn down all the walls and the houses, and where the roofs are, they will be burned, because they have been used to offer incense to Baal and poured out libations to other gods, causing my fury to rise. Israel and Judah both have done nothing but wrong since their earliest days, and they have infuriated me. The sins of the kings and the officers and the prophets stir me up. They've defiled my temple. They have given their children to Moloch in the Valley of Hinnon. I've never thought what sin, what incredible evil causing Judah sin so greatly. So therefore the Lord God of Israel says concerning the city that I will fall into the hands of the king of Babylon, through war and famine and disease. Although I will bring all of my people back, they will be my people, and I will be they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and mind to worship me forever for their own good and for the good of all of their descendants, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, promising never again to desert them, but only to do good to them. I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me, and they shall never leave me. I will rejoice to do good to them, and I will replant them in this land, and I do it with joy. Just as I sent these terrors and evils upon them, so will I do the good that I've promised them. Because I am the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And so, Jeremiah, ask me about the things and the remarkable secrets that's about to happen in the earth. For though I've torn down the houses of the city and the palaces, Babylon's will enter, and the men of this city are already as good as dead, for I've determined to destroy them in my furious anger. I will cleanse away all the sins and pardon them. And the city will be an honor to me, and it will give me joy as a source of praise and glory to me before all the nations of the earth. And all of the people of all of the world will see the good that I do for my people. And they will stand and tremble with awe. And the Lord declares that the happy voices of bridegrooms and of brides and joyful songs of those bringing thanksgivings and offerings to the Lord will be heard again in this doomed land. The people will sing, "Praise the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever." And he is coming back, by the way. "For I will make this land happier and more prosperous than it has ever been before. And at that time, on the day when I come, says the Lord, what I will do, the day I come for Israel and Judah to do the things that I promised to do for them, the day I come when I bring to the throne the true son of David, in that day when he shall rule the people of Judah and Jerusalem, justly living in safety, and then the motto of the land will be, 'The Lord is our righteousness, for I, the Lord, have declared it.' And from then and from now on, David shall rule, and he shall forever have an heir sitting on the throne, and he shall there have a Levitical priest offering offerings and meal offerings, burnt offerings, and sacrifices unto the Lord. And I say this, Jeremiah, from the Lord. And who thinks that they can break my covenant? Can you change the day into night and the night into day? Can you change the schedule of the months? Only then can you change my covenant with David, my servant, and only then will it be broken, so that he shall not have a son to reign upon his throne, and that my covenant to the Levitical priests, my ministers, is non-cancellable, cancellable. And as the stars cannot be counted, nor the sand upon the seashores measured, so the descendants of David, my servant, and the line of the Levites who minister to me will be multiplied." Jeremiah, have you heard what all these people are saying, that the Lord chose Judah and Israel and then he abandoned them? They are sneering and saying that Israel isn't worthy to be counted as a nation, but the Lord has not said this. "I would no more reject Israel and Judah, my people, than change the laws of day and night. I will never abandon them. I will never abandon David, my servant, and change the plan that his child would someday rule this descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Instead, I plan to have mercy on them. This is my plan, and I would never reject that plan or change it. This is the plan. This is the message that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after King Zedekiah of Judah had freed all the slaves. They offered everyone to free, both men and women. No one should be the master of another one, for we are all brothers. So all of the people obeyed that command and obeyed the slaves, but it was only temporarily. And that's why the Lord gave this message. I made a covenant with your fathers long ago when I brought them from Egypt, from their slavery in Egypt. I told them that every slave must be freed. Every slave, after serving 6 years, and it's not been done. You started doing what was right. You freed your slaves. You promised you would do it, but then you didn't. You broke off your oath. You shrugged off your oath, and you made people slaves again because you wouldn't listen to me. You didn't release them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because you will not listen to me and release them, I will release you to the power of death by war and famine and disease, and I will scatter you all over the world as exiles because you have refused the terms of the contract. I will cut you apart just as you cut apart the calf when you walked between its halves to solemnize your vows. Yes, I will butcher you whether you are princes, court officers, priests, or people, for you have broken your oath. I will summon the Babylonian armies back, and they will fight against, capture, and burn. And I will see to it that the cities of Judah are completely destroyed and left desolate without even one living soul. This is the message that the Lord gave Jeremiah when Jehoiakim was the king of Judah. Go to the settlement where the families of the Rechabites live and invite them into the temple. These are half-breed people, these Rechabites. Take them into the inner room and offer them a drink of wine. They don't drink wine, right? Just like the Islams don't drink wine. So I went over to Jazaniah, who was the son of Habazaniah, and brought him and all of his brothers and sons, representing all the Rechab families, to the temple, into the room that was assigned, and the sons of Hanan, the prophet, the son of Igdaliah. This room was located next to the one used by the palace officials directly above the room of Maaziah, son of Shalem, who was the temple doorman. I set cups and jugs of wine before them and invited them in, but they refused. They said, no, we don't drink. For Jonadab, our father, the first son of Rechab, commanded us, none of us should ever drink, never. Neither our children ever. And we don't. And he told us, don't build houses or build or plant crops or vineyards. Do not own farms, but always live in a tent. And we obeyed him. And he said if we did, we would live long, good lives in our land. And we obeyed him in all of these things. We've never had a drink of wine, even since then. Neither our wives or our sons or our daughters either. We haven't built houses or owned farms. We lived in tents. We did every single thing that our father told us to do. We lived in tents and fully obeyed everything that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, arrived in this country, we were afraid and decided to move to Jerusalem. That's why we're here. Then the Lord gave this message to Jeremiah. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, go and say to Judah and Jerusalem. Jeremiah 35, verse 13. The Lord of hosts says, go and say to Judah and Jerusalem, why don't you learn a lesson from the families of Rechabites? They don't drink because their father told them not to. I have spoken to you again and again and again. You won't listen or obey. I sent you prophet after prophet to tell you to turn back from your wicked ways and to stop worshiping other gods, and that you obeyed. that if you would obey, I would let you live in peace here in the land that I gave it to you and your fathers, but you wouldn't listen or obey. The families of the Rechabites have listened to their father completely, but you refuse to listen to me. Therefore, the Lord God of hosts said, the Lord of Israel says, because you refuse to listen, you won't answer me when I call. I will send upon Judah and Jerusalem evil I have threatened it all this time. Then Jeremiah turned to the Rechabites and said, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel says, because you obey your father in everything, he shall always have a descendant who will worship me. Pretty interesting, huh? In the fourth year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, the Lord gave this message to Jeremiah. Take a scroll, write down all of the messages against Israel, against Judah, and against all the other nations. And then I'll take the scroll. When you write it, start all the way back from the days of Josiah. And perhaps when the people read this scroll and they see all the things, all these terrible things they have done against me, they will repent, and I can forgive them. So Jeremiah sent for the scribe Baruch to write down all of the prophecies, and then Jeremiah said to Baruch, since I'm a prisoner here, you go out and read the scroll out in the temple on the next day of fasting where the people can hear it. And maybe the people will turn from their evil ways before it's too late. And even though these curses of God have been promised, so Baruch did just as Jeremiah said, read all the messages to people on the fasting day and the 15th day of the fifth year of December in the reign of King Jehoiakim. People came all around from Judah to attend this service in the temple. And Baruch went and read. And then Baruch went to the office of Gemariah the scribe to read the scroll. And this room was just off the upper assembly hall of the temple. And he went down to the palace to the conference room where the administrative offices were meeting. And Elishama, a scribe, was there. And Delilah was there. And Baruch explained that Jeremiah had dictated this to him word by word, and that he had written it down in the ink upon the scroll. I'm going to stop right there. I'm just at the end of Jeremiah 36. You have a scroll. It's written in your heart. And God's asking everyone to soften their heart, pile up their heart, soften their heart. Turn to him day and night, day and night. Proclaim the day of the Lord's coming. And help someone realize this and drag them out of their dullness of mind and their stupor. Proclaim the truth. Thank you for tuning in today. God bless you. Thank you for being a messenger of truth. Stay strong. Deepen your roots by watering them in the Word today. Pick out some special knowledge and pray about it. Thank you. God bless.